Hey guys, welcome back to the Law of Attraction Secrets podcast. I'm your host, Natasha Graziano. Today I have a powerhouse. He is so inspirational. He is somebody who I recently was a guest judge with him on the show Go Fund Yourself with Dave Meltzer and Rory Cotillard and Jason Waller. And it was so dope. It was such a fire show. We met and I was like, he is someone I want to learn from. In fact, he's someone I want to bring on the show. He's a serial entrepreneur. He used to play basketball. You probably know him. Welcome to the show, Joe Wallace.
Thank you for being here.
Right, awesome. You and your whole 6'7", 8" self. Oh my God.
There you go.
Amazing. Thank you. Were you point guard?
Small forward.
But you're not small.
No.
So why do they call you small forward?
Because it's just the position.
You should be like tall shooter.
Well, you got to, you know, see if you can get the NBA to change that.
I should go to position.
I know you might get them.
I'm very persuasive. Oh, I love that. Okay, so I really want to dive into your amazing career and knowledge in entrepreneurship. This audience is hungry to learn.
Okay.
And we love to learn about people who are doing things at a really high level. And you work with some of the biggest brands in the world. You've done some amazing things. You're a massive investor. I mean, literally, you were on the phone doing a deal for this huge A-list star and this massive store, whatever, as you walked in.
That's right.
And I'm like, holy shit, this guy is the real deal. So let's dive into entrepreneurship. What was the transition like from basketball into entrepreneurship? Because not everyone does that.
Right. Well, you know, it really was born out of necessity, right? So it's really how you vision your life and how you see and want your future to be and how much effort and time you want to put into it, right? So I know for me, after playing, obviously, my dad was in Texas, so I really didn't have the opportunity to learn from anyone. The problem with basketball, unless you're making a ton of money, which, listen, I wasn't making enough to retire, is basketball is only a third of your life, right? You got to really figure out what you want to do after that. And I know it's cliche, but LA in and of itself, only speaking about Los Angeles and the transition was difficult only because, you know, as I was explaining to your people here, is that everybody waits at the finish line, right? Nobody wants to see the struggle or start in the beginning. They want to know, you know, how you became successful. The journey is not what people are really built for. And that's why you don't see a lot of people doing it, right? It's a lot of struggles. And I tell my kids all the time that, you know, is to go out when you're young, is to go out and fail so you understand, right,
that, so true,
you know everything is, you know, my daughter, for example, she graduated from USC and she's scared to fail, so she won't start a business. She'll work for someone, but she won't start a business because she's scared of the optics of failure, right? And one thing that I'm not afraid of is failure. And that's really the key to success, is not being afraid to fail.
Damn, mic drop. Off the rip, you're only coming with it. Oh, that's my right. God, that is so true. But it is. I say to people, success is about how many times you got back up. There's a quote I love, and I say, don't look at me now for who I am as I'm standing up here. Look at how many times I fell down and got back up.
1,000%.
How many times I stood the fuck back up when everything was against me?
1,000%.
When I was told, you're never going to be nothing. You're never going to grow into being anything. You're never going to amount to anything. But I said, no, I am.
Right.
And I stood back up.
That's right. Manifested it. You got to manifest.
Well, that's the law of attraction secrets. I believe that, and I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
The power of the belief.
It's everything.
Seeing it.
It's everything.
Tell me about this. Mental rehearsal. I love talking about this. You're an athlete.
Yeah.
You still are. Like, did you rehearse before you went out there for your games?
Well, obviously you trained, right? So I think right now, and just speaking to your people here again, you know, I go to bed early. I wake up super early.
Do you?
I do. I get up at about 4 every day.
Wow. Another person who does that 4 a.m. thing.
I swim in the morning.
Wow.
Just to get my clarity.
Right.
And the universe gives you back what you put into it, right? Mm-hmm. So I honestly try to treat people with respect. I try to live an honest and decent life, right? But more importantly, I believe in me. And I believe in me wholeheartedly. And I've never had a fear of talking to another man. The one thing that I do understand, and I think that really is my strength, to be honest with you, is that I've never been intimidated by another man. I'm just not. And it's just an innate thing that I could be in a room with super successful people. Not to say that I'm arrogant, right? And don't. But I understood that they also had a journey, and that that everyone's journey is different, and that if I get on my own journey, I could end up like them. Mm-hmm. But you got to get on your journey, right? You got to start your journey. So I think one of the things for me, and a lot of people get intimidated by successful people, and it intimidates them, so they don't really want to get started. Or even if someone, let's say for someone a successful, told you not to go into podcasts because they tried it and it failed, and they told you that you took their advice, you wouldn't be here today.
I wouldn't be here.
Right. The only reason you're here is because you believe in you and you believe in what you can do. And you knew this was going to be a successful thing. So you got into motivational speaking. You're doing a podcast. You're representing products. You're doing all of these things, not because someone paid you to do it, but because you realized that you could do it. You did it. That's hard to do. You would think everybody has that kind of motivation, but they don't.
So interesting. You're right. That's exactly it. That's why I believe that I'm here, is to inspire people to go on and inspire their people.
Right.
I literally believe my gift is to motivate others to get out of bed in the morning, to get up and be someone in their life so that they can go and inspire their community, your community. Because I can't reach a billion people on my own.
Right.
I'm going to have to do that through your community and your community. Right. And that's why I work as a force with other people. I'm like, let me inspire you.
Right.
That's really it. Well,
so it starts. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that everyone has a gift, but not all of them want to, everyone has a gift, right? But, you know, a lot of people I know in the African-American community, I'll give you an example of you. If you go to the African American community where, you know, times are hard, and you just, you know, you run up to one of those kids and you tell them, I own a business, right? I'm a business owner, right? They automatically have the perception that that means success, and that means that that's something that they would never achieve, not understanding that you could file for in a corporation online. And say you're a business owner, it costs you a couple hundred dollars, right? And I think one of the things that for our community is really developing and teaching the youth that starting your own business, being an entrepreneur, like when I grew up in my era, and I'm sure your mom can attest to this, was that, you know, you probably had, you know, you had four or five occupations, right? You either be a fireman, a lawyer, or a police officer. Now with the internet and all the different opportunities, it doesn't make any sense for you not to have any effort. There's reseller programs on Amazon. Mm-hmm. There's tons of things that you can do without capital that I don't think people are aware of. But I think that's one thing that I'd love.
Very interesting. Give me three things that people can start to do today with no money. And then I want to talk about what you did in your journey, because your story is so fascinating.
So I think, well, I know one of them would be a reseller on Amazon.
Yeah, right? I was about to say, what does that mean?
Well, that means that you can literally buy and sell products. There's programs at Amazon and companies that will allow you to be an affiliate marketer, right? So that means that you can sell their products on your site with not having any inventory.
Wow, that's so dope. You just promote their things, and then it's like however many you sell, you as if it was your product.
1,000%. And
wow.
So you're all the boxing and packing and shipping, right? And all you're doing is marketing your site with links to their products, and they're doing all the work for you. You're not even, you have no investment other than a small website. I mean, there's a myriad of things that you can do like that, that if you looked into it, if you just Googled that on the internet, you could find a ton of things.
ChatGPT will tell you.
1,000%.
That's dope. Okay, that is fine. Give me another thing that somebody can do.
Well, it's kind of hard to say without any money, but there are
Or with a small capital, because maybe they can get a small loan. Maybe they can invest. Like when I needed to change my life, I got a loan for surgery for $15,000. I didn't use it for surgery. I wouldn't use it to get a coach and get a program so I could start my own program and resell theirs and build my own. Do you know what I mean? That's where I began.
So I think since I like startups, right, I think that a lot of people have ideas – that they never act on, right? So there's a lot of people with a lot of really good ideas, really good intentions that really don't know how to get it to market. That's one of the reasons why you have GoFund yourself, right?
Right.
So people can come on there. I would always take an idea, see what that idea would be like, and try to figure out if I could patent that idea, right? Mm-hmm. If there's a way to commercialize it and make it mine. And then there's a way to go online and post your ideas on there that could bring in an investor, mm-hmm. right? Or a joint venture partner or a company that's already doing it and you can align yourself. You just really have to try, to be honest with you. I'm just one of those guys. My whole thing came from sitting in rooms and listening to men talk. You know, I'm big on education for my kids, but I've got ADD.
Oh yeah. You like moving around.
When I was in school, I just, you know, if it didn't really pertain to my life at the moment, I just didn't.
I know, it's hard.
It's hard.
And it's hard for a lot of people. And that's why I'm like, no, this is so relevant to you. Listen to this. Like, this is going to really help you. Go back to that moment when you were in your darkest. Like, you said you had a lot of businesses that started and failed. Tell me about that.
Well, I mean, listen, first of all, you can't be in the game unless you're in the game, right? So I'll try a myriad of businesses and a lot of them fail. But I'll get in and give it a shot and see which one. So I've got, you know, I've got 10, 20 businesses that failed, right? The ones that make it though give you such satisfaction that you forget the failures, right? So I mean, the deal that I have right now with Von Dutch came from just being in the right place at the right time and pursuing it and really getting them to see my vision of what I wanted to do with food and beverage, right? So it's being able to sell yourself and sell your vision. You got to have complete confidence in what you're talking about, right? So if you're going to really motivate someone and they got to feel your passion, right? I know when I sit with young entrepreneurs and I hear them talk and, you know, I'll give them ideas and they'll sit and listen, you know, I always like to see how passionate they are. Like, how serious are you about being successful, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you can't have one foot in, one foot out. Mm-hmm. It's a tough world out there. I mm-hmm. tell my, you know, when I drive into the car sometimes with my kids, you see all these cars? Every one of them has a person in there trying to feed their family. Mm-hmm. Every one of them. How are you going to separate yourself? How are you going to differentiate, be the person that can make money for your family?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you have to think about doing, but you have to have confidence that you could do it. And I think that, you know, for me, I just never lacked that confidence. So that was one of my biggest things, is just have confidence in what you're doing.
So true. Confidence is everything.
It is.
People say, Natasha, how do you have that confidence? And like, we look at you and you're super confident. I love that. I think the most attractive thing in a person is confidence. In fact, am I right? Confidence is much more attractive than prettiness mm-hmm. in a woman. Like, she could be not the most beautiful woman physically, right. maybe, but her confidence is right. booming. That is so much more attractive than the prettiness.
Right.
I feel like it's, you know, I see girls who have maybe haven't, you know, they're not maybe as aesthetically whatever.
Attractive, right.
But boy, they are fucking cool as fuck and they're getting the dudes. And I'm love that. Because they've learned to use their personality instead of having to use their prettinality to get somewhere. They've been able to use the thing that other people don't have to use. Pretty girls don't have to worry about their personality so much. Until they do.
Right.
Whereas I always build it on, I'm gonna make sure my personality is even. But when people say to me, you are so beautiful, I'm like, I'm honestly even more beautiful on the inside.
Right.
That's my answer.
That's
like,
fair.
You may think I'm aesthetically beautiful and I'm not bad, but like on the inside and my personality is tenfold what my looks are.
Right.
So yes, steal your bitch, steal your man. Like,
oh, wow. I hear that.
No, I'm joking, but I'm confident.
Yeah, you are.
So I believe in it, but where did that confidence come from? A belief in myself. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, thank you, God, I got another day. And I look in that mirror and I'm just going out there and I'm like, you are amazing. And you all know this, I do affirmations every day. I look in that mirror and I say, you are amazing, you are magnetic, you are cool as fuck, the world loves you, and everything you touch turns to gold.
Right.
And then I say, I am, and I repeat it back. So I speak to my soul, and then I speak, I am, I am. Right. And I just go into this, like, flow state.
Yeah.
That's confidence, yeah. You know?
It is.
And it transcends into business.
100%.
Transcends into everything we do. I feel like anything you want comes from a belief. Did you always have self-belief?
I did. And you can feel it in people, too. When you sit down with a very confident person and you start having a conversation with them, you know right then and there, you go, okay, this dude or this woman, you could see something in them that's a little bit different, and you know, you get it.
I think that
for some innate reason, when I was young, I've always had confidence in myself and just the ability that, you know, listen, I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't a great student. Obviously, I'm African-American, so I'm starting behind the eight ball, right? I'm tall, so people automatically assume the basketball piece. So I got to get over that dumb jock syndrome. You know, so there's a little bit of some hurdles. But after a little bit of a conversation with me, right, they come to an understanding, like, he knows his stuff, right? And I think that, you know, I've got two brothers, and we're completely different. Right. One brother sells insurance, and he does that his whole life, and he loves that. And that's what he does. And I always look at him and say, why haven't you started your own insurance agency? You know, why would you want to make $125,000 a year? Not that that's bad. I'm not knocking that by any means. That's not what I mean. But he's the key to the operation where he's at, and the company makes millions. I just say to myself, I would have broken away and started my own and gave it a, you know, that's just my
confidence. #confidence.
It is.
What does he say?
Confidence in himself to carry the business on his own.
But he could.
And I just go, well, I don't know why you would do that. So, but I mean, it's just, a lot of people think that business isn't for them, but you're really in business if you're working for somebody else. You're kind of already in it.
You are.
Just need to, you know.
Well, I have an assistant who, she's worked for me. She'll be listening now. She'll be like, thanks for the shout out. She worked for me for many years. Okay. And one day I said to her, right, we have to shoot my clients on covers of magazines, but I don't have the time to be going to the shoot anymore.
Right.
So a few years back, I'm like, I'm like the entrepreneur, the founder of the business. I'm like at the forefront. I'm on stage. I'm on tour. I need somebody. You've got a great eye. You want to be my creative director? I would love to be. But Natasha, I respect this. She said, I'm not going to be on an hourly wage when I do that. I want a set fee, and I want this. And I was like, okay, just because you asked it like that, I'm going to give it to you. But best believe, this is the budget for that shoot. You're taking a quarter of it. Make sure the other three quarters, you fill it with the makeup artist, the stylist, the hairstylist, the studio, the photographer. Right. Make sure you fill in. And you're going to run that shit, honey, because you're getting a big salary for it.
Right.
She was like, okay. So I said, now you work for me, but you're an entrepreneur. Because so if I'm not there, don't come to me and tell me the photographer's canceled. You best have filled it.
Right.
I don't want to know anything about it. Just show me the cover at the end.
Right.
That's it. I just go, well done to my client. We did it. We put you on the cover of Glamour or Forbes. Mm-hmm. Like, we did it. But like, no. The rest of it is like, you know? So I say that to me, the reason I talk about that is that's a woman. She had the confidence. She started going, I want to do something a little bit. I was like, I still don't want to go fully on my own.
That's right.
Because I'm too scared to go fully alone. But you
can. I want to start learning. My first job when I got done playing was at American Express.
Was it really?
Yes. I ran.
Damn, I wish I'd known you then. You could have got me one fucking 20 years ago. I had to wait till five years ago.
I walked into an office in Woodland Hills where these guys were doing tax and business. And I said, listen, would you guys want to bring someone on that? So my real strengths are rainmaking, right? Like being able to go out and create. And so I walked in there and I pitched these guys and I said, listen, you guys got this office here. You got the blue box on the card. Mm-hmm. You do tax and business, tax and business and accounting. Do you guys want some athletes and celebrities? Oh God, yes. You know, they're sitting there. And I was saying to myself, can you believe that a machine like this doesn't have someone doing that, right? So they ponied up money and they hired me. And my first job, I was making $12,500 a month, right? But I had a big office and I had a car that said Joe Wallace, Sports and Entertainment, American Express.
Wow, that's so cool.
So that was the first time.
And that was in the business card era.
That was the biggest card. But you know, that was my first real entree. And because I had the wherewithal and I wasn't scared to go pitch him, is I made my own opportunity. People are waiting on opportunities. You got to make your opportunity is really what I'm trying to say. And I didn't know what they were going to think. But when I met one of them, I said, hey, put your partners together. Let me come in there and tell you guys how we can. And I gave them 30 clients in like 3 months.
Wow. And
big NFL guys and all of that ultimately. Even because what happened was every time I would talk to another company, they would hire me.
Fire. So
you know
I do.
I mean? Like, and they were like, oh, damn, we like you. You come over here with us.
Yeah. Right?
And then I finally realized, you know.
Do this yourself.
There's only so much of a ceiling you could do that, you know, when you're trying to just connect people. I've been burned a billion times. But it's a learning process. And, everything has meaning.
It does. Everything has meaning. You said something really interesting just now. You make your own opportunity. So it's like when people say, like, you're so lucky. I'm like, bitch, please. I'm not right. Lucky. You create your own luck.
1,000%.
You literally decide, I am a lucky bitch. I'm a lucky bitch. I'm a lucky bitch. Or I'm a lucky dude. I'm a lucky dude. I'm a lucky man. Whatever you want to say. There's a whole song called Lucky Man. Go listen to it. You decide your own luck. You create it. When people say you're lucky, I'm not lucky, baby. I am. I'm the luckiest person alive. But I've decided that. But it's not the way you think it's lucky.
You know what that was my first job. Let me give you my first business. This is my honest to God, my friend. Just a pretty cool story just because.
Yes, we love stories.
I didn't.
And you got a great voice.
Didn't know how to start business, right? So obviously just getting done playing, I was trying to figure out like, what could I do? And just kind of normally what basketball players do, trying to stay relevant in that whole little basketball thing. So I said, you know what? There's so many players that want to play over in Europe that don't have agents but are really good players. Because, you know, you go and I see all these guys that I would play against, like at the park or wherever, that athletes work out. And I'd be like, God, he's good. Where'd you play? And I played at North Dakota. And this is really before the internet was. It's right when the internet just got started, right? So I thought of a company name and I called it Euro Search. And what I did was I went and I ordered every book that had, and this is back when faxes. Right. So every fax number to every team in Europe, and I got the fax number to every college in the United States. Right. So that would be Division I, NIAA, Division II. So what I did was I emailed every team, college team, and I said, all of your seniors, if any of your seniors want to go play in Europe, for $300, if you send me your VHS tape, I'll send it to these teams in Europe, right?
Wow.
And agents, right? Tons of players that wanted to go play overseas but didn't have agents, right? At that time, it was very difficult to do. And that company blew up.
That's so cool.
I would stay all night and just fax teams, players that were available, and people started getting jobs. It was just, listen, I didn't make a bunch of money, but it was my first entree to see.
That's a really cool thing.
That innovation, right? That if you give it a shot, and that was when the first time, you know, when you go to the mailbox and you got $300 sitting in there, you know, you realize, okay, the service had some validation.
That's beautiful.
It was my first one, but I'm just saying.
You could have kept that and sold it.
I should have.
Yo, I mean, that's so good. How much did you sell that for? But then you had other businesses that really you put into and gone with.
Really interesting.
That's so great.
Crazy stuff.
I love that you were using your talents and your skills. Well, and you were deciding what you wanted to do, who you wanted to help, and how to do it. And then I guess it led you to your next thing?
Yes. Well, a couple of them. I've got a couple of them. Right now, my latest venture is we bought the rights to Von Dutch for food and beverage.
I know. I saw. I was like, yo, this is amazing. And I wear Von Dutch. I have my little like vintage stuff. Well, I wore it as a kid when it was like all in the shops. And then I wear it now vintage. Like I wear all the oldest pieces. Okay. Well, it's so fire. I love it. I'm going to wear it again.
That's right. Well, you know, first thing people think about, obviously, are the clothes. And what I seen was it having an audience of millennials, right? Which is the hardest demographic to get, right? So if you take the brand and you say, you know, okay, well, this is a clothing brand, but it's, you know, everybody knows it from the trucker hats and all the other stuff. My whole thing was, If me and you started a vodka today, and we went and we asked people, hey, we got this vodka, here's the name of it, no one would know it. But if you ask people about Von Dutch, if you take 10 people, 6 people know it. To get to that level of marketing would cost you millions and millions of dollars. The first thing I said was, okay, I've got an audience. What does that audience, what would fit good in that audience other than just a trucker hat, man? Come on. Mm-hmm. So hot girls and cool dudes. Mm-hmm. And so that's a good audience, right? Mm-hmm. So first thing I did is I bought the rights to vodka and tequila. It morphed into buying it all. But my first thought was, and when I was going to do the vodka and tequila, I acquired a company that takes all of the additives out of the vodka and the tequila.
Wow.
So it's the best tasting smooth. It doesn't give you a hangover.
That's beautiful.
And I was doing a lion's mane vodka.
Oh, my God.
So mushroom vodka with no additives.
Which is what everyone's into these days. You know, in the fucking clubs, all the money's gone down, they said, because the kids are coming in. They don't do the alcohol anymore. They just do shrooms.
That's right. Well, no, this is healthy mushrooms. So, I get what you're saying.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't think I can put it or loosen it. Just be driving. You drive off the road.
What do you mean? Well, you can't drink and drive anyway on fucking vodka, bro.
Why did that dude just drive off the PCH into the
ocean? He's talking about liquor with lion's mane, the healthy fucking shrimp.
He's like, damn. Well, they're doing this
shit about them getting high in the club.
Healthy mushrooms, girl.
I know what you mean now. Lion's
mane.
Not shrimp.
Not psilocybin. I don't think that's legal yet.
Yeah.
But I get you. I got you. It's funny. You ain't the first one that said that. So I'd be like, come on.
Shrimps.
How the hell somebody going to make psychedelic vodka?
Nailed it, though, when they do that.
You're nailed to the cross. People start dying from drinking. There, you can't do that.
God.
But yeah, healthy. Yeah. So health and wellness is the way to go right now with everything. You know, if you
it
really,
is the way, I agree.
It is. I mean,
don't do shrooms in the club.
But you're right, though.
Do them in a bush.
People are drinking as much alcohol. Yeah, do them in the bush.
The bush is better. Go to the bush. Do it in the bush. And not that bush. In your bush.
You know what we are doing now?
This is so fucked up.
She said, do it in the bush.
But not my bush. Do it in your bush. But I know what I mean. Just go do it.
It would have been better had you said grounds. I don't know, it had to be in a bush that grow out of the ground.
You know that's just gone viral. Someone's already taken it and put it out my bed.
Anyway, but I get it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I understand.
Do it in your own bush.
That's right. I understand.
Natasha, welcome to Jimmy Kimmel. Tell us about how they should do it in your bush.
No, I understand. I understand.
Oh, no. What's going to be like if she goes... Some guys are into that, though. Some guys are into a bush.
In a bush? Come on, stop.
Some guys are into that. One told me the other day on the phone, he's a fucking NFL fan. He said, babe, you know, if you and I ever do get together, I like a bush. I was like, you do? He's like, yeah. He's like, leave it. So now we really are just talking about the bush.
Mushrooms can't grow there, though. Okay, so you. Okay, so if you got a mushroom down there, Lord have mercy.
Like in bushes and actual trees.
Okay, well listen. Okay, we don't. That ain't the vodka people want to drink right now. Okay, we don't want to.
You want to be sponsored by a vodka company, Bush Vodka? Oh my God, this is so funny.
Bush Vodka, baby. Let's do it. Let's go. You know, you can make the lid with little hairs coming out from me.
This is so good.
Okay. Yes.
Where were we? This is such a good show. I love it. I love when I could just be myself.
I see. Yeah. I think we get
I've
it.
Never loved
I think we get it. Man.
Show in my life. Oh my God, this is so funny. But the worst thing is, the week before this, we had a pastor on talking about like beautiful things in the world, and now we're talking about the past.
Right.
The show is very diverse.
Put some holy water on your baby. Before you leave, trust me, that pastor, he's feeling your vibe right now, and he's like, the demon is still at the studio.
Oh my God.
And look what happened. Look what God did. Look what God did.
You're so funny. The demon is
the mic. He pulled the mic on your ass. Dang, God pulled the mic.
I wonder if there were shrooms in that chocolate we had.
Here we go. Here we go now. Here we go now.
This has gone so viral, I can already tell. My God. Well, welcome. For anyone that's meeting me for the first time.
Right. There you go.
Who's just seen this episode and doesn't know about what I really do. I actually motivate people. And Joe Wallace is an incredible entrepreneur who did not. Do the shrooms that I did.
I did. Tell it on herself too.
Okay, wait, let's go back to the vodka thing. So the vodka you created,
it was a lion's mane vodka, damn it. Okay, just disrespecting my lion's mane over here. The damn chain.
Your vodka just went viral. Everyone's literally gone nuts.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Get ready for the damn lion's mane vodka.
We should have a waiting list below.
Okay, we should.
In case. Because people are going to be like, wait, whatever they did, I want.
Oh, damn. Whatever they did. Again, she's on the shrooms. It would be drink, but she said did. Consuming the shrooms.
Oh my God. Okay, no, wait.
I get it.
So what?
We're also doing Von Dutch cannabis.
Really?
Yeah, I own the rice cannabis.
I'm interested in the drug thing. Oh my God. Can we? Really? No, cannabis is great. As in the stuff people smoke
Well, listen, there's money in the smoking part. And yes, I'm going to do that just because it needs goats. But I really like the idea of branding Von Dutch with.
Oh, cannabis. Wow. Well, that's very unique. Amazing. So it'd be like products
by just the Von Dutch cannabis
so
culture.
Cool.
The hat with the
leaf. That is the type Von of Dutch. Oh, I love
I
it.
Think, I think I that would it. Be fly.
Well, that's millennial.
It's millennial. Yeah. You know, you got this on with the leaf here, Von Dutch, little slogan, whatever.
So fire. I love it. Oh, my God.
And that's the kind of stuff you had to think about and had to go to them and say, listen, let's do this. And they were like, well, why? And I said, you have to tell them. You have to explain. Sometimes you got to, you know, you got to make people see your vision. Right? You got to sit down. You got to make them see your vision. This is my vision. You got to see it. You got to feel my energy on it. Right? So if I know you have energy in what you're telling me, I tell my kids all the time, if you kick the door enough, it opens.
Wow.
I don't care what you're doing.
Wow.
You keep kicking that thing, it opens. Mm-hmm. It just does. It's the laws of universe. You know how you'll meet some people and they'll be successful and they'll tell you their story. Wow. You know, and I was just telling my son, he's in Turkey right now, and I was talking, and it was some guy I had met, and he knew my son's friend that played basketball at UCLA, and he was telling my son, I said, you know, it's a lot of what you know, but it's definitely who you know. Mm. So as you go through life, try to position yourself to meet people that can enhance your life. I said, the value of Harvard is not in the education.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The value in Harvard is your dorm mate.
Wow, so true.
And the people you're eating with mm-hmm, and at your mm-hmm, fraternity. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's the value of Harvard.
Your network is your net worth. It's your network. 100%.
That guy's father's is the senator of Iowa. This guy's dad runs the, you know, CEO of the healthcare company.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That, you follow me? That's why you go to Harvard.
Wow. So true.
That's the truth. And so if you align yourself and you put yourself in those positions to meet people that can help you, right? So, you know, I like to watch First 48. I like to watch these really true crime novels. And I just see, you know, a lot with African-American boys. I just see and I just say, all three of them are going to jail because that's all three of them know. None of them have a different role model in that hood and where they're at. This is their life, that wow. circle of life.
Wow.
There's not an individual that's in their crew that goes, you know what, let's not do this. Let's try to figure out how to raise some money and open a car wash.
Mm.
There's not one of them doing that.
I feel you.
You know what I'm saying?
So it ends up going down a bad path.
It ends up going down the only path you know.
So sad. You do. You'll go down the path you know. Unless you change it. Unless you go, you know what? I'm going to U-turn and I'm not going to follow the same thing because I'm going to consciously realize that I'm in somebody else's frame and I want to change my own frame now. And I want to choose a different life. So I'm going to choose something that is going to be different for me, and I'm going to be the first millionaire in my family, and I'm going to create generational 100%. Wealth. You know, I'm going to create something different.
100%.
You just got to choose it.
You got to choose it.
And you chose it.
I've chosen it. Listen, I've gone down many paths of my life, right? And some I'm not proud of. And I'm just
but that who guy. Doesn't have a different path?
I've been and seen and done a lot of things.
Right.
Right. I'm one of those guys. But at the end of the day, all those experiences in life have helped me and molded me into be who I am today. And I'm very grateful for them. I'm very grateful to teach my kids not to have some of the past things that I've done in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And to surround yourself with positive energy. Energy is everything. It truly is to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So do you want a person that you wake up in the morning to kiss you on the forehead and say good morning? Or do you want somebody that opens up the window and says, God, it's ugly outside. Ugh, I hate today.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Those two interactions can really dictate how you start your day and how you move.
I agree.
That kind of person.
I agree.
I'm positive.
Yeah, me too. Well, that's why I've been single for a while, because I'm like, I'm worried. I don't want someone to diminish my life. I wake up, I give you so much energy, honey. I'm 10xing your business today, let alone tomorrow. Like, we're winning out here.
Right.
So if anybody is not positive in my world,
right.
Cut.
You have to.
You have to be. I agree. Like, I am filled with happy. That's what the law of attraction is. We choose our destiny.
We do.
We wake up and we're either positive and attract more positive things. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You can find the light somewhere that you're still alive, that you're still breathing, that you have family. Maybe you have somebody that you love. Somebody loves you. There's something you can be grateful for. Your pets, the trees, the air, the flowers. I just count those blessings over and over until 100%. They multiply 100%. To the bigger things.
100%.
You know that's how what you appreciate appreciates. You know, I have a gratitude alarm that goes off every day, 3 times a day now. And on your phone, you can set it. You can go onto alarms and you can change it. And I change it to positivity alarm, gratitude alarm, celebration alarm. And what I do is when the one goes off first and it says positivity alarm, I instantly say something really positive about myself and anyone around me. I'm like, okay, the alarm's gone off. You are amazing. I'm so grateful for you in my life. I am amazing. I'm so grateful for my life.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And then maybe somebody else. Then when the gratitude alarm goes off later that day, I give gratitude.
Right.
And I just pray for a few minutes. Thank you so much for my house. Thank you for my life. Thank you for
that. As we should all be.
Breathing, right? Yeah. So it reminds you to do it. But that little alarm in your phone literally reminds you to sit and go, okay, I can maybe just give praise for this minute. I can give gratitude. Well, and then you have more to be grateful for. It multiplies. I've turned crazy situations into miracles from doing the gratitude alarm.
Positivity is everything. Listen. When you asked me to be on this podcast, I only came because you were positive.
Wow, I know, because you literally
I had no idea.
You have millions of followers? What? I was like, you're the first person that's never seen my Instagram.
And I sincerely mean that. Like, on all I love, I did not Google, I did not
I believe ask. You. I believe
because
you.
When I met you on the show, I just said, whatever she's trying to do, I'd love to be a part of.
Aww.
Just because of her energy.
So nice.
So when you asked me to tell me beyond, I just said,
I love that.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, I love that. It's so beautiful. I'm here for it. It's energy. But that just proves everything that we talk about, which is energy is what is the leading force of all. It doesn't matter the numbers and the thing and this. Right. Energy will win. Energy will trump all. It's like you can feel a person's presence in the room. You can feel if someone's a good character. You can feel if someone's a bad energy.
Right.
But that positive energy just led you right here. You walked yourself in to the show.
No,
you didn't even know who I was. Because you felt my good energy. And that is everything. But I felt yours. I was like, I know he is someone who needs to be on this show.
Right.
Knew it.
It's my first podcast.
Really?
Of course.
Oh, my God. I love it. Well, you've been an amazing guest. And actually, on that note, we got a wrap for today. Final guest of our season here in L.A. Now we're going to go and hit Miami.
Ooh.
So you are on fire. I love that.
Get ready, Miami. Because there's a hurricane coming.
Oh, Lord. Anna Bush.
Damn.
Thank you so much for coming. Yeah, thank you for being here. Well, we love you guys. Thank if you've enjoyed today, I already know some of you have cut clips from it, so I'm not going to say share it with a friend because I know someone already has. We'll see you again next week. Thank you, LA. This has been an amazing season. We'll see you in Miami next week.